Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz with the smoothest show on internet radio. Although yesterday I would not have said that. but we got through it, I think. I want to thank everyone that tuned in yesterday, and thank you so much for your patience and your understanding. We did have some technical difficulties, which caused us to end the show abruptly. So hopefully, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we will have a smooth show going forward today. I have a quick programming note about next Sunday's show. We were scheduled to have Ollie Silk on the show on next Sunday, but he emailed me to reschedule because a studio session had been scheduled for him for next Sunday. So as soon as he's rescheduled, I will let you know. But we did schedule saxophonist Art Sherrod Jr. for next Sunday. And so we're excited to have him on. And his official CD release party for his new CD, Seasons, is August 29th at 6:30 and 9:30 p.m. It's going to be held at the Ram's Head of Annapolis with special guest Tracy Hamlin, and she is the former lead vocalist for Pieces of a Dream. Ram's Head is located at 333 West Street in Annapolis, Maryland. So you want to go out and support Art for the release of his new CD, Seasons, at Ram's Head in Annapolis. All right. So, Mike, how are you? What's going on with you?
I'm okay, Terry. Everything is going great in the area now. Like, we had some thunderstorms roll through the area, but everything's cleared up now, so we're okay now.
Okay. All right. Well, our guest today is Larry Ellis, Jr., and Larry's current CD is called Your Favorites My Way, and he is a multi-CD recording artist who just released his third CD, Your Favorites My Way, a compilation of songs done the urban smooth jazz way. He is also the uncle of Taylor Burris, who we were talking to yesterday, and Taylor will be calling in a little later so that we can continue his interview. So, Mr. Larry, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Well, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. I'm excited to be here and be on the radio with you and Mike and talk some smooth jazz. So I'm excited.
All right. So before we came on, Larry was rubbing in the weather. He's sitting on the beach somewhere in California. he was rubbing in the weather there in California. And so what is the temperature there?
It's between 80 and 85. It's a slight breeze, maybe 5-6 miles an hour, and it's a little bit overcast, but we got enough warmth out here, you know, near the beach to really, my wife is working on her tan.
Okay.
Along with the rest of the people.
That's some good weather there, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, good weather.
Oh, with Mike in D.C. with thunderstorms and you in California with California weather, and here in Vegas is hot. Just plain hot. Although yesterday was nice and cool. Oh, man. Okay, so that's...
Well, regardless of the weather, the one thing we all have is the music in common.
That's so true. That is so true. So true. Okay, so let's start, Larry, with your background and how you got started in the business.
The business side of it actually came later. I was very young when my mother noticed that I used to love to get on the piano all the time and play, you know, not actually play, but bang on the piano. She did start me at having lessons at 6 o'clock, at 6 years old, excuse me. And I continued taking lessons from music teachers, you know, where they kind of teach you song, but not theory up until I was about 15 years old. And my music teacher at that time, who was a classical teacher, recognized, she put a couple of jazz tunes in front of me. And there was something about how I played them that she said, Larry, I think you're meant to be a jazz player. And so she says, even though I would love to keep taking your money and keep teaching you classical, I don't think that's your direction. And I'm going to recommend that you get to somebody who can teach you chords and scales and jazz theory. And from there, I went to taking jazz theory and chords and scales and progressions. And then I still didn't put out a CD till I was 35. I mean, we recorded music, but the business side of it didn't come until I was about 35. And then I started, I got a little help and started producing, recording and producing music. And the first CD that I recorded was called My Rhythm.
Okay.
So that was back in 1995 or 96. I can't remember now, 12, 13 years ago.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of basically how I got started.
All right.
But you've always been playing the piano since you were like 3 years old, though, right? But you just never went into it professionally.
I started playing what I really call playing at six, but my mother just noticed that when we go to my grandmother's house, the first thing I do is get up on the piano and sit there till we left. Then she got me lessons. At 15, I started kind of playing in bands and, you know, garage stuff. And, you know, it wasn't until later on that I really turned professional musician, where I would play in the clubs and kind of cut my teeth, you know, playing in a variety of clubs in the Sacramento and Bay Area. So that's kind of how that. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You said you were playing. You started playing at 15 in the clubs.
No, I couldn't play. I was playing in garage bands when I was 15. We would do gigs for people's wedding, and we'd have to beg them to let us please play at your wedding. We probably weren't a very good band. You know, 15-year-old kids, they're learning how to play music, and you're learning what you like. So there's very few people at 15 that really know how to play music, I would say. Some of the people today who are extraordinary, gentleman you talked to yesterday and going to talk to after me today, is an exception to that rule. But most kids at 15 really don't understand about how to play music and play it so that it's pleasing to other people. We just all play it as loud as we could.
Okay, so, you know, when I talked to you before, I have mentioned to you that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the challenges indie artists face in terms of, you know, getting their music heard, putting together a CD. And I know that money plays a big role in that. But what other challenges have you faced?
Well, I think for me personally, the other challenges that I faced early on was understanding production value. Just to be quite honest and blunt about it, my first CD, My Rhythm, had a very mechanical keyboard sound. And I understand now, looking back, why nobody wanted to play that record. It was good, but the production value of it was difficult. So a brand new artist coming into the business really has to learn that. What I didn't know was that when I said I was a piano player or a keyboard player, I was competing directly with Bob James, Joe Sample, Alex Bunyan, and gentlemen like that. And my production had to be equal to or better than theirs. And since they had huge budgets and I didn't, the challenge is to make a product that is just as compelling and has the same production value as somebody who has a budget of, say, $20,000 a song or $30,000 a song from a major label like Warner Brothers or, you know, a big record label like that that can afford to spend a lot of money per song. And the challenge is to make your music as good as everybody else on a shoestring budget. So that's a huge challenge, is production value. On my second CD, I started to understand, my second CD is named Impressions, and I really started to understand the value of production value and who I got to produce and who I got to play music on my CD was also, to use a term, political smooth jazz value as well.
Okay.
Because I think politics in music is like politics in anything. It plays a part. If you have a Gerald Albright or Kim Waters or Kenny G, at the best play on your CD, people are going to look at that and say, wow, this is the crowd that this guy runs with, so this music must be pretty good. And so if you're a relatively unknown individual who doesn't have that connection to, you know, bigger names, then the challenge is, are they going to want to really listen to the music? And they say, well, who have you been on tour with? Well, I haven't. And so it's a real challenge, and I use the term politically in the slight sense, because in a way, you do have to get around and kind of get to know people and play for people or play with people. And then they say, oh, yeah, that's the keyboard player for so-and-so and so. And now he's got a CD out. And so that's been a challenge. Another challenge before is that in 1998, when I released Impressions, which you can tell now is, been 11 or 12 years since I released the CD, was getting airplay. The online stations really hadn't come into play that much then.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, as a result of the internet and the expansion of, you know, globalization with what everybody can do with computers and streaming and all that kind of thing, which is what we're a part of today, an artist can send his music to online stations and get kind of a groundswell going, and then, the other radio stations, or even just use the example of online with YouTube and people, you know, playing videos, and then all of a sudden somebody, an overnight sensation because they're getting a million hits on their YouTube video. So the era that I came up in was a little bit different, and so now I'm not going to say it's easier to get your music played, but there are more places to get your music played due to online streaming.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say too, Larry, that with you being on the West Coast, a lot of the promoters, it's more promoters out there, unless I guess you guys got a bigger area to kind of play and everything. How do you find it being an independent artist? Is it pretty decent on the West Coast for independent artists versus being on the East Coast?
Actually, I there might be more promoters out here. They haven't found Larry Ellis yet. and I'm hoping, as a result of, somebody hearing my voice that they'll say, hey, let's get in contact with this guy. But I know a few promoters, and I've gotten help, as far as gigs are concerned, or, getting to play gigs and opening for some people. But I think it's the same difficulty for independent artists, whatever coast that you're on. I think that the East Coast maybe without them, maybe a little bit more supportive of jazz, just to the demographics, and the concentration of people, that really enjoy jazz. And then at least in Sacramento and in California, I'm not saying that there aren't any jazz spots, but the jazz spots that we have are difficult to get into, and then, you know, some of them require that you be on a national tour to get to come in and play at certain places, and then some of the other places that kind of want you to play, you may not always feel like that's good for your career to play at some of those places. So kind of toe the line between where to play and where not to play. I remember after I released my first CD and I started opening for majors, some of the clubs that I played at, I stopped playing at. And some of the people who worked at the clubs, you know, thought that I was being this or that, or, you know, not wanting to remember who, you know, got my name out. And it wasn't that at all. It was that I was just trying to reach a bigger audience. So sometimes you have to make decisions in regard to where you play that are very difficult. You want to play the music and get your music out, but you have to be picky and you have to make the right decisions as to where to play. But I don't think it's any easier for musicians on either coast to get their music heard. I can't say that there's that much of a difference.
Okay. Well, I want to let you know that I have a chat room, and Taylor just came into the chat room. So we want to welcome Taylor. Thank you for coming back. The Jazzy Spot, thank you, Triple J, for joining us. And we have a person in the chat room that is listening from Germany. So,
wow.
Yeah, so this is what the Internet does. You know, it just reaches out all over the world. So you have someone in the chat room listening to your show and your music in Germany. So you just never know who's listening.
That's absolutely fantastic. And I think that's one of the most exciting things that I think about being a part of a radio show like this, is being the amount of people around the world where the attention actually goes. So
exactly, yeah.
That's a wonderful thing.
Let's talk about the CD, Your Favorite Let's, My Way.
Okay.
Go right ahead. Tell us about the CD.
The reason I had two CDs previous, My Rhythm and Impressions, and I wrote 24 songs, between 24 original tunes. But because it was so long ago, and I didn't feel that people caught on to my, you know, originality and my songwriting ability, I thought that I would switch it up this time and pick out some tunes that I thought everybody would kind of know and like and enjoy, and then do them my way. And that's how I came up with the name of the CD, Your Favorites, My Way. Then it was a matter of picking the tunes that I thought crossed all borders, you know, as far as people were concerned. I think that if you pick an old rock and roll song and, an old Doobie Brothers song and things of that nature, that you're crossing boundaries as far as people are concerned, and you're drawing in a greater crowd of people. So that's one of the reasons why I picked the songs that I did, and I was hoping that I would catch some people's favorite songs. I already have in my mind your Favorite's My Way 2. It'll come out after I write some more original music. So.
Okay. Well, I have several songs from the CD that I've chosen to play. So
okay.
I'm going to start with Nothing But a G Thing. So tell us about this one.
Well, at first, I really do enjoy a lot of, you know, Snoop and Dr. Dre's work. And I was really just, that might sound strange coming from a jazz guy, but, you know, I do listen to a lot of different kind of music. And I really did enjoy Nothing But a G Thing, the original version, and I happened to be see in the video of when that song came out, and I said, you know what, I think I just want to do a nice jazz version of Nothing But a G Thing and see if I can, you know, draw in some people of a different age category, of a different, you know, genre of listening, because if you were to take, I was hoping that if you were to take my CD to somebody's wedding and I could see my mother and father dancing, you know, to some of the songs on the album because they recognized it. Or maybe even if they didn't recognize it, a lot of the young people would recognize the beat and maybe want to dance to it or maybe want to listen to it. So that was one of the reasons why I picked Nothing But a G Thing. And I really do I like a lot of Snoop's work, so
okay.
I might end up doing some more Snoop.
All right, this is nothing but a G thing. Snoop Dogg, nothing but a G thing.
I want to thank
that was nice. I like that.
Thank you. I got some fellow musicians playing with me, Mr. Dean McGee on trumpet, and Mr. Richard Nance on guitar. So I want to make sure that they get their props because they work really hard to help me to put in their parts, and I think that's important because a lot of times, you know, in the making of a CD, there are other people who obviously play a major part in, and their creative talents played a major part in that particular song and some other ones on the CD, as you'll hear in a little while. Thanks,
Absolutely. Okay, well, the jazzy spot in the chat room says that was hot.
Jazzy spot. Okay, excellent.
Jazzy spot, yeah.
Oh, you know, I think I have them on Jazzy.
Yeah, he's another radio host on another website, and he, in fact, that's how I heard about Taylor. He interviewed Taylor.
Oh.
And on it's called Ozcat Radio.
Oh, that's right. So that's Triple J.
Yeah, Triple J. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he's hanging out with us, so he liked that. He liked that song. Mike liked it too. I'm not a big rap person, not a big rap fan, but. I like your version. It was nice. I'm more smooth jazz. I'm more definitely a jazzy person.
Well, I want to tell you,
but I like.
I'm with you on that. That's how I am. I actually stepped outside of myself to go there because I really did want to try something different, and that was one of the reasons I did pick that song. I mean, outside of the fact that I really do love it. So, but I'm with you. I'm more smooth jazz than mostly anything.
But I like it a lot because, you know, we have like guys like Mike Phillips and a lot of the other jazz artists. They create stuff with the rap stuff, but it's more so the more popular versions, like the Kanye West songs and things like that. But like I said, I love the LA gangster rap stuff, you know, Snoop Dogg and Dre and Ice Cube and all that kind of stuff. So I was feeling that. I really like it.
Well, thank you very much, man. I'm glad. Yeah. I hope there are other people that are feeling it too. And
yeah,
I'm just hoping that I'm hoping to make it a nice family CD that you could put on any song on that CD and there wouldn't be anything that bothers anybody or feel like they got to turn it off or anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's important, besides the fact that, you know, try to put my jazz touch to it the best I can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So who have you worked with, Larry, in terms of artists?
On this CD and on my previous, I worked with Roger Smith. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the organist for Tower of Power.
Yeah.
And he's had a few CDs out, and Roger and I are good friends, and he actually played on this CD on Be Thankful for What You Have, because there was an organ in the original Be Thankful, and I wanted to kind of keep that feel. And so I've tried to work with, I have wanted to work with artists, you know, like I said earlier, in conjunction with bringing them into the project, but it always turns out to be a difficulty financially. And so as far as big name artists being on the CD, on my previous CDs, no. And but that's something that I look forward to. But I have opened, as I put it in my bio, I've opened for a lot of people. I mean, I've been on the same stage with a lot of people, because when my first two CDs came out, Spyro Gyra, Boney James, Joshua Redman, and, you know, all those cats came through Sacramento. And Braxton Brothers, Joyce Cooling, just a whole host of people that I've been on the same stage as and or opened the shows for. So over the years, I've gotten to meet and know quite a few people. I heard you say something about the lead singer for Pieces of a Dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little bit earlier. I met them when they came out. I opened the jazz show for them at Elk Grove Park here in Sacramento a few years back, and we had a great time with Fat Burger and Jeff Koshua and Chuck Loeb and just a great bunch of people out at the park having a good time. So I've gotten to know a lot of people over the years. So.
All right. Well, we have your nephew on the phone. Taylor, welcome back to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello.
Hi.
Hold on.
How you doing? What's up?
You're doing all right. I'm at the beach, man, having a good time.
Well, good for you.
Bragging about the weather.
Yeah, you know.
Now, Taylor, Larry, are you Taylor's father's brother or his mother's brother?
Taylor and I's father are as close as brothers can be. And
got it.
We have adopted each other into our families because we've become very close. So it's his, I call myself his father's brother.
Okay,
so,
got it. I understand.
Some people say that's my play cousin and that's my play nephew, but there ain't nothing play about our relationship. We are, and the reason it happened was just it kind of came about in stages, really, over the past 15 years. AD and Taylor's father has lost his family, you know, in death, and I lost some family in death, and so we both kind of went through the same things at the same time. We both lost brothers and stuff. So you look for people who are the same as you and who love the same things you love, and we, AD and I, and that family, and we have just so much in common. So we love that family, and you know, physically and biologically, no, that's not absolutely positively true, but any other way, my brother.
Okay.
Thus Taylor is my nephew, and if something happens, you know, I'm supposed to take over and finish his raising.
Wow.
Now, have you two shared a stage together or no?
Same.
Taylor and I haven't played on the same stage yet, but that's coming in, I think, in late September. We have a show together. I'm not sure whether, I think we're doing something with Patty, and I don't know whether all that stuff has been confirmed, but it's sometime in late September we have something going. And I'm supposed to be featured on play two or three of my songs in the middle of the show, is the way it's supposed to be set up.
Yeah, with real drums.
See, you can tell that's my real nephew because he's a smart ass.
Oh, my gosh. He just blasted up with real drums. Taylor, you go. Oh, that's too funny. So now, for those of you that didn't listen to the show yesterday, we had Taylor on yesterday, and for whatever reason, the website just kind of crashed on us, and the show had to end abruptly. So we asked Taylor to come back to continue his interview so that, you know, you guys can get a little bit more information about Taylor. He is 13 years old. He plays drums, and he is very talented. Yesterday we talked about how he got started, his influences in terms of drummers. Did you make a list of the drummers, Taylor?
Yeah, I only did like four because there's a whole bunch more.
Okay. So we're gonna talk to Taylor some more today, but I want to play some more music from Larry's CD. The next song I'm going to play is one of my favorites on the CD, Chameleon. So tell me about this one, Larry.
Well, ever since that was the first album back in those days, you know, there were no CDs and barely cassettes, but that's how old I am. And Taylor helped me remember that all the time. Back in those days, we bought albums, and that was the first album that I ever bought was Headhunters by Herbie Hancock. And,
okay.
Of course, that featured Benny Maupin and Harvey Mason and Paul Jackson Sr., and a host of people. I think Wawa Watson was playing some guitar there, if I remember correctly. But that was my first album. And I played that album until the grooves wore out.
Those days.
And I ended up replacing that album, of course, with CDs. But it's one of my all-time favorites. And Herbie Hancock, I followed him over the years. He's one of my all-time, my great influences, next to Joe Sample and Bob James and McCoy Tyner. So that's why I chose Headhunters. Chameleon. And I had been in so many groups where we played the song the same way, you know, with the regular bass line. And so my idea for doing this song was to make sure that I did not have the same bass line or the same feel of the song. I wanted to completely change the feeling of this song, which I'm happy to say that I'm happy with the way this song came out. This is one of my favorites on the CD when I think about Herbie Hancock and Chameleon. And the saxophone work that Brian King did on this is fantastic. So this is the ones I really do enjoy listening to.
Okay, this is Chameleon. That was Chameleon from Larry Ellis's Your Favorites My Way CD. And we are talking to Larry about his music and the CD. And we also have his nephew, Taylor Burris, on the phone, 13-year-old drummer, whom we were talking to yesterday but was abruptly interrupted his interview. So we asked him to come back in, call back on today so we can continue our conversation with him. So, Taylor, I want to ask you if we could just kind of recap your interview, just to tell us about your TaylorMade CD that's coming out in October.
Pretty much like a jazz, it's a mixture of jazz, R&B, and fusion. And on a couple, on one song we have my cousin Aaron Janae, as you might already know, doing vocals because we already wanted like some kind of vocal song in it. And then today we just confirmed that Michael Linton will be on the CD. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, so that's a good thing for the CD. And it's going to be on the song Left Shoe, Right Foot. And hopefully in the next interview I can get that song to you guys.
All right, great. I remember when you were interviewing on Triple J's show and you mentioned fusion. And I wrote in the chat room, at 13 years old, what does he know about fusion?
Yeah, I saw that.
you young kids these days. But I'm sure it's going to be a great CD. And I will be replaying your songs as well. And we tried to play TND yesterday, and it wouldn't play. But I did test it this morning, and it did play. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that it will play. So I will play that again as well. So, Larry, what's coming up for you? Tell us what's coming up. Hello? Larry?
Is Larry lost, Larry?
Oh, okay, there you go. Hi.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now.
Good. I didn't hear your question. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Tell us what's coming up for you.
I'm looking forward to doing the gig. I think we're going to open for Patty Austin, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm also starting to write new tunes for my Jazzicology CD. That's going to be my next CD that comes out, and it's going to be original, mostly original music with a few cover tunes mixed in.
Ooh,
and I will be having real drums on the.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you.
And I guess I'm going to have to pay my nephew part of his allowance to get him to come play on the CD.
Yeah, I think so.
Hello.
In addition to that, I'm supposed to contribute some music to Taylor's CD. So we'll be working on a couple of tunes doing that. I'm really looking forward to the success that we feel that Taylor is going to have because he's so young and he has such a great talent. And we hope that we can keep him focused through the teenage years because for a while, you know, I did lose my music focus for a while and start playing golf and doing other things, you know. Okay. But I always kind of centered myself by coming back to playing music. And If Taylor, we can help Taylor to understand that this is a long-term thing in his life, and we can keep him hope. And that's part of my job, is to, you know, give back to not just to Taylor, but to other young people who are interested in music as well. So we're starting a foundation, Keep Music in School. And because so much of the budget has been cut out here in California, I'm not going to go in and mention politicians' names because that's not the point. The point is the budget was cut, and what they do is they always cut arts and music.
Yes.
That's always the first thing to go is arts and music. So what I'm trying to do is help the music department of my idea for the foundation is to help the music department for maybe 10 schools to raise money so that they can keep their instruments up, so that they can afford to pay the teachers, so that they'll be able to have somebody on campus that can teach the children music or art. My wife and I have a son who's a very good artist, and he can draw like nobody's business, and he's also a guitar player. And so one of the things that has been dropped from the school that he was at was the music program, because they couldn't afford a teacher because of the budget.
Mm.
So I'm really looking forward to the Keep Music in School Foundation so that we can be supportive of music and arts and things of that nature. So those are the long-term things that I'm really focused on right now.
Yeah, because
that's cool.
The thing about
Hello?
That is, are you there?
Taylor, hold on one moment. We have a phone call from area code 804. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, how are you? And I have a question for Mr. Ellis. I'm in Virginia, and we would like to know when we will see him on the East Coast. And I'm kind of cheating because he knows who this is.
Yes, you are kind of cheating, but I love you for cheating, and thank you, Cuz, for that. I'm going to have to get some gigs out on the East Coast.
You want me to?
you know, you can do that. Anything that you can do to further this, I'll be happy to come and hang out with you guys in Virginia, and me and the wife. That would just be an excuse for us to get on the road and come out and hang out.
Exactly. I don't want to interrupt any further. Please go on, and I'll be home in about 3 weeks.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. And who was that, Larry?
That's my cousin, Fran Jones. And she's married to my second cousin, Everett Jones. And I have a great uncle that's still living. He's 87 years old.
Wow.
And he was my grandmother's youngest brother. My grandmother passed at 99. And so her youngest brother is still alive. And that's his son's wife, and she's on the East Coast, and she's been real supportive of me and the music, and she's actually the one who took the pictures for the front cover. That's her Fran Jones, and she has honorary mention, so I'm not surprised to hear from Fran at all.
Okay. Well, thank you, Fran, for calling in. Thank you. Taylor, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Please continue.
Oh, no, but... The thing about the school thing is that since they took the music out, you know, all these kids are just drawn to football, you know, sports and everything, you know, rap and stuff. So that's pretty much the thing we're trying to do to get school music back into the school, so they won't have to go and play sports and stuff like that. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Taylor, I know that you are homeschooled. How long have you been homeschooled?
For about 4 years. So since fourth grade.
Okay. So you're 13 and you're probably too young, but I'm wondering if you are going to the different schools in your area and performing?
We're starting now.
Okay.
So we're gonna start in September. September 1st, probably, during the week of the first part of September.
Okay. All right.
And my question is for, can I get a quick question for Laurie? Let's see, we've interviewed Eric Darius
who came onto the show and said similar, you know, to what you were saying about the kids and music and the schools and everything. And my question to you is, well, do you think that this will help not only smooth jazz but just music in general if we were to get more kids into, like, learning instruments, to play real instruments? Because now it's like it's good to see a kid like Tyler can play drums at 13. You know, a lot of kids, they don't know how to play drums. They just know how to use their iPods and maybe, you know, scratch a couple of records. But, I mean, the play, like, there are no real bands anymore. I think the only real R&B band left is, like, Mint Condition, you know. So do you think that having kids learning instruments at an early age and trying to help these kids learn music, do you think that would help music overall?
Music overall. And to me, see, it doesn't much matter to me whether a kid growing up playing in a rock band, or if he plays in a fusion band, or he plays in a jazz band, or you know, there are different, obviously, musical cultures around the world that have their own different styles of music. So what we're talking about is music as a whole. Encouraging, if a child can learn how to play the French horn, and he can be in the Chicago Philharmonic Orchestra 10 years from now, then that's going to continue music on. And that's the most important thing as far as music is concerned. It helps music as a whole. It helps people as a whole. When a child has to learn a particular finger discipline, it teaches him character. When a child has to learn to play with a certain tone or a string with a violin or a certain note on the piano or a certain chord, and he has to learn a discipline, it teaches that child character. And the more character that we have in children, then we're raising people better. We're raising people of honor. And music plays a big part in that. Of course, you know, how we teach them morally and spiritually and mentally, that also plays a big part too. But children who go to music lessons, the statistics show that they were 15% less likely to be in trouble. That's just music. Taylor mentioned sports, and sports is important too for children, so that because we live in a nation of people who are overweight, and sports gets children out of the house. I had a son that was 280 pounds when he was 12 years old.
Wow.
And because his mother was smart enough to put him on the wrestling team, he started in the heavyweights. By the time he was in high school, he was wrestling at 170 pounds. And, you know, my son is 6'1", and he weighs 170 pounds. And that sports was a direct, you know, instrument in really, I think, saving his life, because he was on his way to being what he was, obese. And so I don't want to discount the role that sports plays in health or that music plays in mental health or keeping kids out of trouble as well.
Mm. Okay, let's listen to one of Taylor's songs. This is the song I was trying to play yesterday. It's called T&D. Taylor, you want to tell us about this song?
All right, this song is pretty much like a kind of like a, on the keyboard, it's kind of like a Joe sample kind of feel. And that's what we really wanted, so we just mixed it up with kind of smooth jazz, kind of fusion a little bit, and then the bridge kind of like a almost James Brown type straight ahead, whatever. So we just kind of went out of our way to come up with something.
You just amaze me when you say words like straight ahead and fusion and all of that. Just amazes me, coming from a 13-year-old. I'm just like blown away by that. Okay, this is from Taylor's upcoming CD. It's called Taylor Made. It will be released in October, and this is called T&D. Very nice, Taylor. Very nice.
Thanks.
Very nice. Larry?
Yes.
I have a question for you from the chat room. Butter Baby wants to know, how can jazz artists help the youth learn the art of the instruments at school, and what can more artists do in high school?
Okay, I missed the first part of the question.
How can jazz artists help the youth learn the art of the instruments at school, and what can more artists do in high school?
Well, the artists, really, yes, they can help, you know, teenagers learn their instrument. They can go to the high schools and volunteer their time for a music class. It depends on what instrument that, for instance, I'm an artist on the keyboard, so I would be able to give instruction on the piano and help people learn chords and scales and at least put them on the right path. To, you know, if they wanted to be piano players. Using Taylor as an example, he's definitely overqualified to give drum lessons to young children or even some of us older children who don't know how to play the drums. He's very qualified to give lessons or go and give a drum seminar or perhaps make a video. Like I've been over to their house where Taylor was watching videos, and I could make a piano video and distribute that. These are ways, if you had a piano video and chords and scales and things of that nature, you could distribute free of charge to the high schools so people who wanted to learn, they could take the video home if they had a piano or practice at the school itself, or maybe volunteer to be a music teacher at the school, you know, if you're qualified for that. So, yes, okay. It would help children in school, and artists can do that anytime they want, and it sounds like Gary Darius also does the same thing.
Yes, yes. Butter Baby also says that he has seen, Taylor, this is to you, that he has seen you play at the Bob Hope Theater in Stockton, and you are off the hook. Live Wire, real talented.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is. I wish I knew.
But yeah, but let me ask to both of you guys, because like I said, Taylor, I've seen you on YouTube. You guys, on YouTube and on your MySpace page, you have a lot of clips of your concerts and everything. How has the internet, you know, helped you guys get your music out and everything?
What was the question again? I couldn't hear you.
I've seen you on YouTube and on MySpace and everything. Like I said, I've seen the clips that you posted from the from your YouTube page onto your MySpace page. And I was asking you and Larry, how does the internet help independent artists like you guys get your music out and get the word spread about trying to build a fan base?
Well, it's really like just putting it out on YouTube and MySpace and everything, because almost everybody in the world goes on the internet, they have a computer, and they look at this stuff. So just by everyone watching that, you know, it just really, really, really helps a lot. And just to say thank you to all the fans and everybody, because, I mean, it really, really does help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a particular club called Avalon downtown Sacramento, and I walked in after a show, and I started talking to the drummer. And this is an example of how powerful the internet is. And I said, I think you might know my nephew named Taylor Burris. And he said, you know what? I don't know Taylor Burris personally, but I've seen his YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my brother, who's another drummer, called me and said, you got to get on YouTube and watch this kid, Taylor Burris. So Taylor and I are living proof, not just because we're connected together, but that the internet really is a powerful medium. The fact that somebody from Germany is listening to this show as we speak and may request some of our music is, you know, lets us know that it's very powerful. And like I said, 10 years ago or 12 years ago when I released Impressions, they were barely just beginning to have online radio stations, barely. You still had to send out two CDs to every radio station, every smooth jazz radio station in America. That's what I did the last time. You had to service them with CDs and a one-page bio and then send it to them. It cost you a fortune to mail it out. I can tell you that. And that's something that Taylor, you'll have to send out a certain amount of CDs. And on this one, I'll have to send out a certain amount of CDs, but the servicing of the radio stations is going to be a lot less, because you could just, you can email your mastered tracks to them, and it's like over in the Ukraine, I just emailed some of my mastered tracks over there, and they were playing it over there. So it's a powerful medium not to have to necessarily send out CDs and spend money on mailing things out. The internet is an awesome thing for musicians.
It is. And Taylor, when your CD comes out, you know, some artists, when they release a new CD, they give away a song. So will you be doing that?
You know what?
You know, they offer free downloads on one of their songs.
Yeah, we'll do probably one or two, you know, just be safe, you know. But well, I mean, whatever my father says.
Oh.
Is that your dad in the background telling you?
Yes, I told you this.
That's me back. I'm telling you.
Oh man, that was too funny, Layla. What did I tell you, boy? Oh man, that was cute. I like that one. But yeah,
oh, that was funny. That was funny. Taylor, I have a question for you from Constance in the chat room, and she came in late, but she wanted to know who are some of the drummers who inspired you to become a drummer.
Yeah, the first two were part of my dad's group, Analysis. Michael Thompson and William Waples. Those are the first ever two. But then once I really started to watch drummers and everything, go on the internet and stuff, it really became a whole entire world of drummers. So, I mean, there's a real big list. There's one, Ronald Bruner Jr., drummer for Stanley Clarke. That's just one to name a few. And I think there's someone online in Philly that might know this next guy, George Spanky McCurdy. So that's another good one.
And Constance, he has another drummer that comes to his house every once in a while that plays with Boney James. What's his name?
Oh, Omari Williams.
Yeah, they hang out.
Yeah.
They hang out. Okay, I'm going to play another song of Taylor's. This song is called Maybe, and this is the one that has his cousin doing the vocals on it. Her name is Erin Janae?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, this is called Maybe.
Give you
That was Erin Janae singing Maybe. She has such a beautiful voice. And that is from Taylor's tailor-made CD. The CD will be released in October. Taylor, you mentioned that a video is going to be made of this. Tell us about the video.
Pretty much the video will be kind of like a 50, I guess, jazz club scene. And, I mean, we're not done with it all the way, not yet, but we're going to go to work on it in about 2 weeks, so to finish it up.
Okay. Okay. All right. Larry, tell us where we can find your music.
The music can be purchased off my website, www.jazzplaya.com. I am very close to having distribution on a national level, so once that's secured, then they would be able to go to, say, like a Borders or, you know, someplace like that to get it. But right now they can either purchase the CD, a hard copy of the CD from the website, or they can also purchase digital downloads for their 99 cents a piece per song if they don't want to buy, you know, the whole CD. But there's 10 songs on the CD, and you can get the whole CD for $9.99. So, and all they have to do is go to jazzplaya.com.
Now, you just mentioned that you're getting distribution, and that is another challenge that indie artists have. So how were you able to secure distribution?
Well, I mean, it is a very difficult situation, and you have to continue to try to open doors and push the envelope. First of all, somebody has to really believe in what you're doing as far as your music is concerned. So I was able to find somebody who really liked the CD. Coincidentally, Terry, they liked a lot the same song that you liked, was Chameleon. And so then, you know, they kind of went off of that and they listened to the rest of the CD, and they just felt like it was something that the general public would really enjoy. So the person, for number one, has to believe in it. Then they have to have a network of people that they can distribute it to. They have to have the contacts. And to make all that happen is extremely, extremely difficult. So I'm in the final stages of getting all that secure right now. That's why I'm not being extremely specific about it. But I'm in the final stages of getting all that stuff taken care of. And once that happens, then we'll have CDs printed and shipped to different places.
Okay.
That's one of the more difficult things. That was one of the things that actually stopped me with Impressions. The radio stations liked the music on Impressions, but because I didn't have a national distribution, a lot of times they wouldn't give me airplay because I didn't have a national distribution. So
okay.
That's why we love online radio stations like Talking.
Yeah, and let me tell you, there are so many of us out here on the Internet working to keep the smooth jazz genre going because, you know, we've lost so many stations. And like you said, mainstream radio just does not want to give the independent artist airplay. So there are a lot of us on the website, on the Internet, working towards keeping the genre alive, whether it's a music show, a talk show like mine, whatever it is. We are out there trying to keep this genre going.
And as artists, let me just tell you how much we appreciate that so many people are working hard. I'm getting an airplay on another online station as well, too, and the lady over there worked really hard to get my music to her, you know, boss and to get him to listen to it. And so you still sometimes have to go through the same channels, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to go online and listen to music from your computer. And as an artist, I'm glad that the Internet has evolved this way, and I just want to say personally thank you to all the people who still care enough about, you know, real jazz, real instruments, and like your co-host said, Mint Condition is one of the only groups that really goes out and is a real band anymore. because so much of this stuff is made in studio with scratch boxes and, you know, not real instruments anymore. And that's due to the fact that children just don't know how to play an instrument.
Yeah.
I have a couple of questions for you and Taylor from the chat room. But let me give you this comment from Constance Renee. She went to the website, and she said it's a nice website, and she likes the music. That's for you, Larry.
Thank
and this question is for both of you. It is from Antoine Smith. He wants to know, what music programs do you love to use, do you use for recording?
Are you talking to me?
It's a question for both of you. What music programs do you use for your recording?
Go ahead, Larry.
When I recorded this, my newest CD, we were using the newest version of Cubase, which is a computer-based program. And so that's what we used to make sure that everything had the quality that is necessary in the music industry today. So I did use Cubase.
Okay.
As far as me, we use the Pro Tools for the whole entire CD.
Okay. All right. Another question, the Jazzy Spot wants to know, Larry, have you been told that your music is not smooth jazz?
That's some of the music, yeah.
I haven't been told.
Some of your music is not.
I haven't been told. I mean, I could guess that maybe some people would say that maybe using a Snoop Dogg tune maybe isn't smooth jazz. I think that sometimes people try to make a differentiation between smooth jazz and urban smooth jazz. And we know what they're talking about when they say that. But on this CD, I made a concerted effort to really try to hit the middle of the pocket by playing songs that everybody knows and playing them in the jazziest way that I knew how. I haven't personally been told that yet. I assumed on my last CD that it wasn't enough smooth jazz because I didn't get a lot of radio play on my previous CD 10, 11 years ago. So whatever it was that they were looking for, I just assumed that what I had written wasn't it. But I haven't been told that lately, so I'm glad to hear that. And for the fact that I'm on this show and we're playing some of my music, I think maybe that's proof that I at least hit it in the right direction.
Well, and, you know, I've read, too, on various blog sites and various other places that some people are saying that the term smooth jazz should just be taken away, period.
So,
well, you know, I mean, smooth jazz, I mean, I think what they're trying to do when they say that is they're trying to differentiate between smooth jazz and straight-ahead jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Because the straight-ahead jazz stations, if you look on, say, like if you have your Comcast bill, which is one of, you know, our TV, and then when we go to listen to music, the jazz station that plays traditional straight-ahead jazz like McCoy Tyner and Jimmy Smith, they just say jazz, and that's all that's there. And then so when you hear new artists say, like, perhaps Eric Darius, Kim Waters, you know, and people, Bob James and Joe Sample, then they put them in the smooth jazz category, and there is a difference between, you know, that fusion-based smooth jazz and straight-ahead jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, Larry, we've interviewed quite a few artists who came on the show, and we asked them, well, do you consider yourself a smooth jazz artist? And a lot of them surprisingly said no. They just consider themselves a musician who plays good music,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, I think, you know, people want to philosophize but and say yes, because that's the natural tendency, is not to put yourself in a category.
Right.
Because once you admit to being in a category, then you can only be played on this one radio station or these 50
mm-hmm.
radio stations. And our goal is to play on as many stations as we can. But I remember when I came up, and my wife and I laugh about this a lot. You know, we had this one radio station called KFRC, and they might play Paul Hardcastle, Rainforest, and then right behind it play Color My World by Chicago. And then, you know, right behind that play Taking Care of Business by Bachman Turner Overdrive. And today, none of those songs would be on the same station. It's because they differentiated and stylized our music. So I believe, personally, that you can't just say, well, I'm a musician and I'm an artist. You have to put yourself and be bold enough to say, I'm a jazz, a smooth jazz artist. That's where those are the kind of concerts I want to play. Because I'm going to be honest with myself. If the Whispers were playing at an old school concert and they had me open the show, I'm not saying that I couldn't fit in and play great music, but people in the audience might be wondering, why did we have a jazz guy open the show for old school R&B? And so I might fit in better if Bob James came to town and I was going to open the show for Bob James. I play more of my music in that feeling. So I think you have to be bold enough to say, this is the category that I'm in. But in the old days, they just played everybody's music on one station. If it was a good song, they just played the good song. But today they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. We're all cut up, and everybody has a different, you know, there's country, and then there's new country, and then there's, you know, old Patsy Cline country. There's four or five different kinds of country. You know,
right.
So.
True.
And I was just getting ready to say, it seems that when it comes to jazz, everybody has a very strong opinion about that genre of music, whether it's straight ahead, smooth, urban. They just seem to, that it seems like the genre of jazz just has everybody, it's a very subjective subject. It's very an emotional subject for everybody. So it's hard to really, for one person or for more than one person, to say the same thing about jazz because everybody has a different opinion about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I certainly agree with that. And due to the plethora of opinions, then, you know, that's why some people will come on and say, I'm just a good artist and I just try to play great music. Or versus me, myself, personally, I do consider myself a smooth jazz artist. And I want to consider myself that. And I'm not thinking that anybody on the country station is ever going to hear my music and say, that's the kind of music I want to play. I understand where I am. So...
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's listen to another song from Larry's CD. This is Moon Dance. And after this song, I want to talk to Mr. Burice about his exceptional talented youth program. Okay, so Larry, tell us about Moon Dance.
Moon Dance has been one of my favorite songs. Moon Dance was one of those songs that you could hear on anybody's radio station when I was coming up. And Van Morrison wrote a great tune. The recording back at that time wasn't very good, so even though it was a great song, the recording of it didn't go, I think, as well as they would like. I've always enjoyed Moondance. I know Bobby McFerrin did a great version of Moondance, and from the time that I heard his version of Moondance, I wanted to do a version of Moondance, kind of make it smooth, but not afraid to live on the edge a little bit. So that was my vision for Moon Dance. And when this was the first song I recorded on Your Favorites, My Way. We recorded this song first. And when we were done, I was really excited. I thought everything came across real, real well. And my friend Jerry Hutchins is playing guitar solo on Moon Dance by Van Morrison.
All right, this is Moon Dance. I like that song. That is another favorite of mine on the Your Favorites My Way CD. That's called Moondance. I like that.
Thank you very much, Ms. Carey. I appreciate that. Appreciate it.
Well, you're quite welcome. So is Mr. Baris on the phone?
Yep, he's right here.
Hello, Mr. Baris.
Hello.
Hi.
I would
like for you to tell us about your Exceptional Talented Youth program, please.
It's a program, like I mentioned yesterday briefly, a program that I was inspired to do once I saw that Taylor really was involved in drums. And I think you guys touched on it earlier about the young people, giving them an outlet. And since music has been taken out of schools, it gives them a way. But not only so much of music our program is geared to, it's also for education, to help these young ones not only pursue their music career, they may change after a few years if they don't want to play music, but at least if we get them started, they can switch gears and perhaps go into medical or whatever. But we want to give them an outlet to give them a chance, if they are musicians, singers, musicians, I hate to say, but we're not really looking for the rappers, guys that are women that have exceptional talent. So we want to help them further their careers in the music. And some of the things that we have on that we're working with right now is the schools, the school districts. I was in conversation with them last week. We may do some tours, or not maybe, we're going to do some school tours with the young talented youth. And what I'm trying to put together is I'm trying to put a band together. So anyone out there listening, for young people, like a bass player, guitar player, of course Taylor would be the drummer, sax player, Elizabeth Smith. It don't have to be just one. And we have the blessing, like I told you yesterday, from Patty Austin, because she's going to be the one that's going to say, okay, we want to take this group to the next level. We have an opportunity to get these young ones on the Oprah Winfrey Show and other shows. So that's the big deal that I have going on with the Exceptional Talented Youth.
Okay. And are you only looking for youth in California?
No. They don't have to be in California. They really don't have to be. They can be from anywhere. We just want them to have exceptional talent.
Okay. And how do they apply for the program?
Actually, they email me. I think you have all that information.
Yes.
They send me their material. We'll review it. Not only me, but we have a team. We have a vocalist who trains vocals. We have keyboard players. Larry is one of them, trained the keyboardist. We have saxophone players to train saxophonists. Of course, Patty Austin will be one of the vocal trainers, along with another friend of mine, who's Skylar Jett, who's been on everybody's record. You can think of jazz, R&B. He's been with them. Celine Dion, he's been with the best of them. And, of course, drummers. We have other drummers that we're going to bring on board to be drum teachers and just try to make the best for these young people. But the thing is, we want them to come in with their own ideas, and we want to capitalize on their ideas. We're not just going to try to guide them in the way we want them to go. We want to guide them in the way they want to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to let you know that there's a very talented keyboardist in the chat room. His name is Antoine Smith,
okay.
And he writes music as well. He tells us that he writes every day. So I definitely will be sending him your email information for
mm-hmm.
him to contact you. And just give me your email so I can post it here in the chat room.
It's analysisjazz1@comcast.net.
Okay.
Now, what I would like to do, I'd like to extend an invitation. Now, we have a show that's coming up October 3rd. I think I mentioned, or Taylor mentioned it to you. And on this show, we have Analysis, Joyce Cooling. She's the headliner. And we're going to be premiering some of the exceptional talent youth that we have already. Now, if any of these young people that's listening today, if they can find a way to get there, if they're out of Las Vegas or wherever, if they can find a way to get there, what I'm willing to do and what I have is a way to have them put up in rooms, make sure they eat and they're taken care of, have transportation when they get there. And if they get in touch with me soon enough, we may be able to get them on stage to do a solo or something just to give them a chance to be seen. And if they have product, if they have a record that they already recorded, they'll be more than welcome to sell them there. Now, I'm throwing that out.
All right.
Yeah.
Kind of like P. Diddy's making his band.
All right. I like that.
Okay,
like that.
Antoine. Yeah, definitely give him, send him an email and let him know about your music and what you do. That's a great opportunity for young, talented youth. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And could you give Larry Ellis a message for us, me and Taylor? We're still waiting for that song that we were supposed to be doing together.
Yeah, we've been waiting for like a year now.
Well, I still don't want to.
He's still on the phone. He heard you.
No, he did. That's why we said it.
And I know what'll happen too. The deadline will come and go, and then if I don't get that song there, I know it'll be somebody else. So I will get that song to you this week.
Okay, Larry.
And that gonna be a problem.
Wow.
That's a real family thing right there.
And I just want to ask you too, real quick, about a guitar player. I looked on Taylor's his MySpace page, and you guys have a guitar player named Chris Camozzi. Camozzi, yes. He's very talented. I was telling Terry about him. I had a CD of his called Slow Burn, and that was one of the best CDs that I've heard in a long while, and I don't have that CD anymore. And I was wondering, is it when you can get in touch with him? I need that CD back in my collection. But he's a very good artist, very good smooth jazz artist.
Yeah, I can get that for you. Chris and I are working on some stuff right now for Taylor's CD. Actually, I have some of the tracks, but, I didn't want to play them because we haven't completed them yet. But he actually played on my last CD, Nightlife. He's him and Jeff Lorber. So you need to pick that CD up, too.
Okay. Definitely.
And I will contact him. He's on the road right now with Michael Bolden, so I will email him and wait for him to respond back, and I will make sure that he gets that message from you.
Okay, great. And Michael Bolton, he got everybody. I guess he got Chris, and then he got Jesse J with him too, huh? He's got a good band. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Baris, did you get a chance to talk to Adrian Burst yesterday?
Adrian? Who?
Adrian, the saxophonist here in Las Vegas.
No, I didn't get a phone call.
Oh, okay. All right. I will call him and make sure he's in contact with me. Adrian
Burris.
Burris?
Burris.
B-U-R-S-E.
B-U-R-S-E?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting. You sure it's not B-U-R-R-S?
No.
Oh. I'm just curious because our last name is spelled B-U-R-R-I-S. That's the way our name is really spelled.
Yeah, so we have a whole bunch of cousins with the name Burris.
Wow.
Just want to know.
Well, he is 19 years old, and he plays saxophone here in Las Vegas. And I sent you his MP3s yesterday.
Did you? I didn't get them.
Didn't? Okay, I'll resend them.
Okay.
Yeah, I sent three, but I'll resend those. And then I'll give him a call and ask him to give you a call.
Okay.
About the program. Yeah, definitely. Well, gentlemen, it has been such a pleasure talking to all three of you. Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
Thanks.
We really do.
Thank you again. It has been our pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. And Taylor and Mr. Baris, thank you again for coming back on today. I'm glad this show went much better than yesterday's.
Yeah, it went really
good. But this has been a great, great interview. I have enjoyed talking to all of you. And Larry, I would like permission to continue to play your music on future shows, and the same with you, Taylor.
All right.
Absolutely, positively, no problem. That's what we're here for. Play the
okay,
music.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You all have a great day. Mr. Baris, I will be in touch with you about Adrian. Taylor, I am looking forward to the CD, and when it is released in October, would you please come back and tell us about it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. And Larry, when your next CD drops, please let me know.
I think what I'm going to do as well is I'm going to, if you don't mind, I remastered my Impression CD, so I'd like to send you a copy of that as well. So
okay,
I have
I appreciate
your address,
that.
And I will do that. And thank you very much.
All right, thank you. You have fun on the beach. Have a great day on the beach.
Yeah, Larry.
We're headed there right now. My wife's been giving me the signal. Let's go to the beach.
All right. Okay. I apologize for keeping him longer. I apologize.
He's fine.
All right, Larry. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Taylor and Mr. Baris, I will be in touch with you guys. Thank you again for coming on. I truly, truly appreciate it.
Okay,
thanks.
All right. You guys have a good day.
Have a good day.
All right. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, so we had Mr. Taylor Baris and Larry Ellis on talking about their current CDs. Larry Ellis' CD is called Your Favorites My Way, and you can find him on www.jazzplaya.com, and you can find Taylor on MySpace, and he is also on Facebook. His CD, Taylor Made, is scheduled to be released in October. Okay, Mike, do you have anything else to add?
Nothing much like that. That was a pretty good interview, and I really love the program that, you know, his dad is going to implement for the kids and everything. And the offer that he extended to any, you know, kids out there that would like to come out and, you know, play and try to, you know, get their music exposed to a different, you know, set of people out there in California. And I really love that. We should have asked him what age range is, I guess, but I guess under 18, I guess, maybe under 18.
Yeah.
But that's really, really good. Like, we need more kids into music. And like Laurie was saying, you know, that would really change the course of music because, like we were talking about earlier, you know, there are no bands anymore. I mean, you see groups that sing, but not a whole band where it's one lead singer and, you know, the kids play in the background or something like that. You know, you don't see that anymore. But we need to have that come up. And I'm really looking forward to seeing, like I said, these kids be the future of smooth jazz, you know. Like, it's a lot of about here. Like, Elizabeth, BK, like Antoine, you know, we just need to get these kids some exposure and get them some concerts and some gigs so that the people can be exposed to these talented kids, you know.
That's so true. That's so true. I'm excited about this program myself, and hopefully we can get Adrian involved as well. So I definitely will be giving him another call today and having him give Mr. Baris a call. All right. Well, next Saturday, Peter White is scheduled. So just check the show notes on the Blog Talk Radio profile page. Check the show notes for updates on his show. And next Sunday is going to be Art Sherrod Jr. He's a saxophonist in D.C., and he has a new CD out called Seasons. And, again, his CD release party is going to be August 29th at 6:30 and 9:30 p.m. at Ram's Head of Annapolis with a special guest, Tracy Hamlin, who is a former lead vocalist with Pieces of a Dream. Ram's Head is located at 33 West Street in Annapolis, Maryland. And, again, that is Art Sherrod's CD release party for his new CD, Seasons. And that's going to be August 29th. All right. Well, you have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz on blogtalkradio.com. This is the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you next week. Have a smooth day.